This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Wall Street, soaking it all in.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Earnings season kicks off today with aluminum giant Alcoa. We'll hear from them after the market closes. Nothing rosy expected there, and Wall Street knows it. And bank stocks took some heat in overseas markets today as investors fear the fallout isn't even near done. Let's check the numbers. This hour, the Dow is down about 2%, 156 points at 78.19. The NASDAQ down about 30, or about 2% as well. S&P shares falling as well. Today, Asian stocks flat and down just a bit. Again, bank stocks taking a hit there, and European markets are lower at this hour, about 1 or 2%. We're also keeping a close eye today on the Defense Department. Lawmakers and defense experts will be making their rounds, trying to put their own spin on a DOD budget that cuts some programs and expands others. But it's the cuts, of course, that are making the headlines this morning. Missile systems and high-tech helicopters and an expensive fighter jet program, the F-22 Raptor, as it's known. That's where a lot of the debate will be centered. A jobs debate, indeed. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says while the budget is higher than last year's at $534 billion, it is a smarter plan.
This department must consistently demonstrate the commitment and leadership to stop programs that significantly exceed their budget or which spend limited tax dollars to buy more capability than the nation needs.
Let's talk about it with Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us this morning from Washington. Steve, this has got to be some congressional fodder.
Oh, tons. You know, the F-22 program, the construction of this is largely based in Mississippi, but different pieces of this plane are made in 44 different states all across America. So as you can imagine, you know, everyone who represents a congressional district or a state that has jobs tied to the F-22 is going to be under a lot of pressure to go out there and fight for those jobs, especially in this economy. And then the big defense contractors that help make this plane, Lockheed Martin and Boeing, are going to be spending lots of money and lots of time on the Hill doing everything they can to make sure that the Pentagon keeps buying these planes for the foreseeable future. So this is going to be a big fight.
So from an employment standpoint, Steve, what are we talking about here?
Well, Lockheed Martin says the production of this plane employs 25,000 workers at 1,000 different suppliers in 44 states. So they've been actually buying newspaper ads and in D.C. publications touting those numbers. But that's just part of the sort of total job figure that's in play in the Pentagon budget. In Washington, D.C. alone, there are almost 300,000 jobs that are related to Pentagon contracting. These aren't folks who actually work for the Defense Department, but work for contractors who build weapons or help the Pentagon manage its enormous budget, its acquisition process. And Gates has put those folks in the crosshairs as well, saying that he wants to reduce the number of contractors the Pentagon depends on and move more jobs back into the civil service. So, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars are at stake. This budget is $500 billion this year. It's actually bigger than it was last year, but because so many high-profile weapon systems are targeted for cuts, it's going to be a big fight.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn from Washington. Steve, thanks.
Sure thing.
Far be it from anyone to complain about not getting a raise this year. You're probably excited to have a job to go to this morning, given the economic fallout. According to a survey by ECA International based in London, 40% of American companies plan to freeze salaries this year. Apparently, U.S. companies are being way more frugal than their global counterparts. About a quarter of the world's companies plan to freeze salaries. Of course, the budget conscious will be looking for travel deals. For years, the only way you could even fly close to New York on Southwest Airlines was into Islip on Long Island. That's going to change this summer. The carrier says it'll set up shop at LaGuardia in June. Expect nonstops to cities such as Chicago and Baltimore, Washington, or BWI as we know it, for as low as $49. Southwest also plans to enter Boston's Logan Airport in the fall. Listening to The Morning Report on Tuesday, April 7th, 2009, at marketplace.org. Today, Venezuela's Hugo Chavez visits Beijing. The two countries have been talking tough against the United States and its lead role in the global economy. But what they'll really be talking about is oil. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Chavez is cultivating a growing partnership with China. Beijing just agreed to put $8 billion into oil exploration and other projects in Venezuela, which in return will triple its oil exports to China. David Zweig of the Hong Kong University for Science and Technology says Chavez is diversifying away from his chief oil customer, the U.S.
So he's a firm believer that China's rise is a terrific thing for the world.
China right now is the top market for new cars, so its leaders are shopping for oil everywhere.
One of the things the party is using to cement its political survivability is to buy off the urban middle class by letting them buy cars.
So does this alliance cut off Venezuela's oil for everyone else? Maybe not. Beijing's investment in oil exploration there may turn up more crude for the world. And the more China buys from Caracas, the more that's left elsewhere for someone else. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Earnings season kicks off today with aluminum giant Alcoa. A parade of not very good news is expected in the weeks to come, but that doesn't necessarily mean investors will be disappointed, Jill Barchet reports.
Investors expect companies to say they earned 37% less in the first 3 months of this year than they did a year ago. Al Goldman is chief market strategist at Wachovia Securities. He says he's not surprised.
I think anybody who doesn't know that first quarter earnings are going to be bad doesn't have a pulse.
Goldman says all the bad news has already been priced into the market. But investors are still nervous about financial companies. So a warning about the banks caused the whole market to fall yesterday. Art Hogan is chief market analyst at Jefferies & Company. He says the bar for companies is so low right now, it could actually work in investors' favor.
So to the extent that we're able to see numbers come in better than those expectations, you might actually find this to be something that the market rallies on.
Several analysts are counting on banking stocks to lead the charge. A change in the accounting rules last week could help them pump up their reported profits. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
The world's banks may be in a bigger hole than we thought, a $4 trillion hole. From London, here's Stephen Beard.
The numbers just keep getting bigger. In January, the International Monetary Fund came up with a figure of $2.2 trillion. That's the total of bad debt it expected the banks to rack up by the end of next year. Now, according to British press reports, the figure is spiraling upwards. The IMF could be set to forecast that global bad debts will almost double to $4 trillion. Grainne Gilmore, economics correspondent of the London Times.
Not only are banks suffering from their exposure to subprime financial instruments, they're now suffering, because of the recession, they're now suffering on their standard mortgages, credit cards, overdrafts. People are defaulting on these at a higher rate.
Analysts say the pressure is on governments to do more to clean up the bad debt. But after so many multi-billion dollar bailouts, voters' resistance is growing. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Tens of thousands of Iraqis have fled the country since the U.S.-led invasion. One of the more popular destinations has been Sweden. The Swedish government offers refugees a program to help them integrate into Swedish life, along with health benefits and a stipend. The program is starting to squeeze some local budgets, though. And as Elisa Roth reports, one town outside Stockholm is experimenting on ways to trim costs.
About 1,300 Iraqis have come to the city of Södertälje since the war started in 2003. It doesn't sound like that many people, but they basically increased Södertälje's population by 1% last year.
When it comes a lot of people in a short time, it's problem in the kindergarten and in schools, and it's a problem with job opportunities.
Anders Lago is the mayor of Södertälje. He says the huge numbers also made it hard to get people through the integration program, which was supposed to teach them about all things Swedish, including the language. So about a year ago, Södertälje came up with a completely new way to deal with asylum seekers. It started by cutting the integration program in half, from 3 years to 18 months. Erika Bendt runs the program in Södertälje. She explains that the city really changed its whole philosophy.
This is the main goal, to get people out and work as soon as possible.
The refugees take classes and do internships, and the new system is designed to make that year and a half feel as much like work as possible. They even get paid to participate.
It's full time, and if you're ill, you have to go to the doctors, and then you have your vacation, and this is how it works. If you don't come here, you won't get any money.
The idea is that the refugees will be much more prepared for real life when the time comes, and hopefully be able to succeed in the job market sooner, which is, of course, good for the refugees. But it's also good for the city. The Swedish government subsidizes the refugees while they're in the integration program. But if they graduate and end up on unemployment, the city has to pay for it. In Södertälje, Sweden, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Residents of Spokane County, Washington, have a greasy situation on their hands. The county passed an almost total ban on phosphates. The chemicals pollute lakes and rivers. But consumers complain household products without phosphates don't get things squeaky clean. And some people have taken to trafficking banned soap. From the Sustainability Desk, here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
Lori Jackson tried phosphate-free detergent, but it just spread the grime around. So one day, she was across the border in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and she spotted a Costco.
And I ran in, and I got 2, 3, 4, 5 of these big Costco-sized boxes.
And that's how Lori Jackson became a soap smuggler.
I just felt like a traitor buying this stuff and bringing contraband back into Washington. But I'll tell you what, my dishes are nice and clean.
It's that pursuit of clean dishes that have Washingtonians flocking across the border. Steve Marcy manages the Costco in Coeur d'Alene and says his detergent sales are up more than 10%.
I've made a couple comments to them, just asking, are you from our Spokane neighbors area there? And they always say, how'd you know? And I just look at their soap and they go, oh, yeah.
Contraband soap may be coming to a state near you. 12 have already passed some sort of phosphate ban, most going into effect in summer next year. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
It's not so easy nowadays to find medical help for a sick cow. In some cases, the nearest large animal veterinarian could be several hours away. Seems more and more vet school grads are choosing the better-paying option of treating dogs and cats. But some states are trying to lure large animal vets back to the farm. Joel Rose reports.
How many babies does a pig have at a time? Huh?
In a classroom at Penn State University, a dozen high school students get a lesson in animal reproduction from Professor Lester Greel.
How many babies does a cow have at a time?
One.
One, I hope. I hate twins.
The students are spending a Saturday at a conference on veterinary medicine. Professor Robert Van Saun says most of these students are familiar only with dogs and cats.
The greatest chance we have to get people to think about large animal practice is to start early.
And the stakes are high. There are roughly 500 rural counties in the U.S. that have lots of pigs, cows, and horses, and no veterinarians to treat them. Most vet school grads choose to work with pets. They're drawn by the shorter hours, better working conditions, and starting salaries up to 20% higher.
We're stretched thin. We haven't broken yet. What would happen is if we had a major outbreak, a major food safety issue, that's when crisis gets more critical.
David Wolfgang is the chairman of Project Pennsylvania. It's a campaign to recruit more large animal veterinarians into the profession and keep them there.
Professional school education is extraordinarily expensive. Many students graduate from professional school with between $110,000 and $160,000 of debt. So it's really challenging for young professionals.
13 states offer some kind of debt relief for students who agree to specialize in treating cows, horses, and other farm animals. And some aspiring veterinarians say they're willing to trade higher wages for a more rewarding practice. Penn State senior Maggie Zink says she wants to work with large animals.
I just love the experience of it, not being in an office all day long, seeing clients come in and out of the door. You got to go out and be out in the country.
Zink's teachers have to hope she still feels that way when she graduates from veterinary school. At State College, Pennsylvania, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Once again, the Dow down about 2%. More on that and additional information about the fallout at our website, marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.